And I go to the divine physician. And I talk to the goodness of the Lord. Because I've been saved for almost 18 full years.
How about that?
18. And they only gave me 6 weeks. So I have no one else to go to. I truly trust upon God to do everything for me. I put my life in His hands. And I read a verse in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22. And it says this, "Is there no balm of Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of thy daughter of my people recovered?"
Yeah.
When I began to read that, it's always asked is a question, is there a balm of Gilead?
Yeah.
Every place that I go, I preach to all those that are in prison that God heals. And God is above all our problems, and He is a divine physician, and He is a sea walker. And we pray for them every time that we step into the pulpit and we go to preach to men that are lost without God. We try to present God as big as I can make Him. And sometimes, even though we've been born again and children of God, we know how big God really is, but sometimes we make Him just as little sometimes as we are. But I try to make the Lord as big as all the outdoors. Because I read in Isaiah chapter 42 that God measures the universe in a span of His hand. Well, when I began to get in trouble with my vision in my eyes, I only had one reason to read. And that's because I was going to read all that I could while I could.
Glory.
About 6 weeks ago, I began to have blurry vision in my right eye and I couldn't see very well at all. Some people told me or thought it may be because I had a cataract. Well, I could live with a cataract. And so I began to get worried just a little bit. And you know how it is when you're trying to do a work for God and you're saved and everything's supposed to go just your way. Well, it doesn't really happen that way. So I begin to call upon God. I preached so many times about being trapped by the enemy of our soul. And anything that he can do and can do, he'll try to put you in a trap trying to cause you to lose out with God. Well, I don't know anything else that would really disturb me is not being able to see. Well, I couldn't see. But I also preach to them. Sometimes preachers dig down in their own soul when things comes against them. And you preach to other people the same way. Experience is the best teacher. I tell them that God can. I tell them that God can prevent the traps that you're going to fall into. That God can heal the lame and God can make the blind to see. And I even preached about Harley Hensley having cancer on his side. Even though circumstances didn't look too well, he stood up on the Word of God. Oh, what a sword it is. So when my eye began to become blurry, I did not one time call and ask for someone else to preach for me. I was content in whatever state that I was in, so I was going to preach the gospel of Christ. I was going to preach Him still big, regardless of whether I couldn't see or not. I called Sister Keith and said, "You may have to read scripture for me tonight because I cannot see." And that's really the way it was. I could not see, but I preached anyway. I preached right out of Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22 that there is a balm in Gilead. There is a divine physician. And why are not my daughters of Zion recovered? Well, I believe that God can, and I said God would heal me. I stood up on the Word of God. I had everybody there at, I know it was in Franklin pre-release, but it's a medical center where we was preaching. Everybody laid hands on me and they began to pray. Well, the cataract that I thought was there was not a cataract. It was far beyond that. The doctor looked at me and he took pictures of my eye, dilated my eye, and he said, "You have ruptured blood vessels in your eye. And the damage that has occurred to you in your eye is irreversible. You'll not be able to see any better than what you can see right now." Well, my vision at that time was 20/200 with my glasses on. And that will really break the spirit of anybody. I mean, it's discouragement. We do all that we can. We do all our work for God and we try to do it for His divine glory and we preach Him so good. And I begin to feel kind kind of sorry for myself, but I called Sister Keith and said, pray for me. I kept right on preaching. The following week, I had another appointment. My doctor was going to do some laser surgery, and I said, Sister Keith, just pray. Get everybody to bind them together, and you pray. And I still preached that Sunday. I preached about being trapped by the enemy of our soul. I went to work, and I had to have another eye exam on a Friday. Well, I had to drive a truck as part of my job. They gave me another eye chart, and I could not even see the chart. I said, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. But somewhere between Friday and Saturday, God touched my eye. I went back to that doctor, and he dilated my eye, and he was going to take laser and shoot that laser in there to cause the ruptured blood vessel and sear them and cover them with scars, and my vision would be lost. Well, I walked back in there, and I was almost in tears. I preach that God's good, don't you? Do you believe that Christ is a divine healer? I believe that it really is. Not only has He touched me this time, but He's touched me in the past, and I stand upon the experiences that God's done it one time, and He can do it again. I walked in there, and that lady looked at me and set me down. She said, we're going to dilate your eye, but before we dilate your eye, I want you to take another eye exam. And I was smiling from ear to ear. Tears flooded my eyes, and I took an extra hanky and said, just okay, put it up there. I began to blot out my eyes, and she put up that chart. I could before see just the last number, the letter. It looked like an F. It's probably a foot tall, Brother Gary. And it was really an E. I found that out on Saturday. When I started taking that chart, prior to all that, I could only read all but the last two lines on that chart anyway. That was my normal vision. And I began to read off E, and I read the next line, and I read the next line, and I read the next line, and I read the next line. I got down to the line I couldn't see anyway. And I said, that's it. She said, something's happened. I said, yes. Yes, I said, I preached about Him Saturday, and I preached about Him Sunday, and I said, there's a divine physician, touch my eyes. She just looked at me like, when God does something for you in your life, you ought to spread it abroad. Be happy about it. Tell them everywhere that you go, tell them how good God really is. The doctor come in, she said, doctor, his eye is a lot better. He just looked on in amazement. And he said, you know something? There's been four people here come to me with something wrong with them. And they're telling me about this God. I said, he's real. He's real. And he said, do you mind if I look at your eye? He said, I want to flood it with some iodine and see where it was ruptured at and all that. Or see where it is ruptured at. He thought my eyes were still ruptured. They stick a needle in your arm, in your hand. And you know how men are? They started sticking me with that needle, and man, oh man, it felt like it was as big around as my thumb. You know, men just really doesn't want to show any pain. We're tough, aren't we, men? Well, that's what I told him. I said, go ahead and get it over with. I'm tough. I said, I'm tough as nails is what I said. Man, what a mistake. He did exactly what I told him to do. He started wiggling that thing around, and I was thinking, oh, Lord, hurry up and get this over. Yeah. He let that iodine go, and it come up into my arm, and it flooded my eye, and he put some kind of an object in there, and he hooked it up behind a computer to look at my eye. And the iodine was flooding my eye, and he kept saying, it's not there. It's not there. Tears welled up in my other eye, and I was wanting to say praise God. Hallelujah. But I started getting real, real faint. Whatever he had done to me and whatever he was doing to me made me real faint. And I said, doctor, I'm getting faint. And the whole time he's taking pictures. He hadn't seen what he had seen before. He seen ruptured blood vessels in my eye, but now he couldn't do it. He said, I can't find them anymore, nurse. And the nurse said, can I look? And I said, hurry up and look. And she went over and looked, and he kept going on and on and on, and I'm getting worse every minute. And I said, "Doctor, I feel very faint." Kept on shooting. I can't find it. I can't. "Doctor, I am very, very faint." I was fixing to pass out. He jumped up and he said, "He's seen enough anyway." Splashed water in my face. Laid me down on the couch and run a sponge across my forehead. And when everything started, little white spots started coming around. Pretty soon I cooled down. Everything started to being all right. And he said, "I have never ever seen this again. It's supposed to be irreversible." Well, I began to shout glory, hallelujah, and everybody was looking at me, but I really don't care. I tell you, when God moves in my life, I want everybody to know it, and I'm not ashamed. I was once like a blind man. I once was blind, but now I see. Can you tell blind Bartimaeus not to get excited? I think not. And you might as well not try to tell me not to get excited. When God touches me, a blind Bartimaeus leaped to his feet, and he ran to the house of God, and he glorified God. I leaped to my feet, and I glorified God right there in that office, and I said, "I serve a big God." I just got a little bit too excited for them to handle, and they set me out in this room where everybody around me could see me. Tears welling up from my eyes, and one of the nurses walked by and looked at me, and she said, "Here, watch this little video. This is what's happened to you. It's free." And I said, "Lady, there's only one thing in life that's free." And she looked at me and I said, "Salvation, my friend, is free. That's the only thing in this life that's free." And she looked at me and she said, "But there is one other thing that's free." I said, "What is that?" She said, "Love." I said, "No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." And she looked at me in awe. I am telling you, there is a balm of Gilead. There is a divine physician. And the daughters of Zion can be set free. You can be loosened by whatever problem that you are. Because I am standing to you, giving you a live testimony that God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He never changes. Hallelujah! That ought to make old ship just jump and shout. After everything was said and done, a follow-up exam was necessary. But I already knew that I was healed, and so did he. I went back to General Motors to take my trucker's license test, and they give you a barrage eye test. Little squares here, little squares there. There's a diamond shape, which is the darkest. Where do you see the flashing light? And I said, "Bop, bop, 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 bop." That nurse said, "You couldn't do that 2 weeks ago." Well, I said, "I know that. I know that." I said, "Jeremiah chapter 8 tells me there is a balm of Gilead, that there is a divine physician. They know it at General Motors. They know it down over at the health center in Hoover Heights. They know it in every prison that I've been. God is a healer."
Come on.
They gave me another eye test. I didn't even have to wear my glasses. She said that your vision in your eyes is 20/40. Well, hallelujah, that's all it was before the accident happened. 20/40. God can put it right back, can he? Well, if he can do that for me, he can do that for you, can he? Hallelujah, that's why I'm happy. That's when he said, "Will you preach for me?" Yes, I'll testify and I'll preach for you too. I don't know about you, but the preacher's inside of my soul. There may be a trap laid for you to try to give you discouragement, but I know the one that can spring the trap. I know the one that can put life down inside your soul. I know one that can give you new joy, new peace like a river. When everybody else says God failed you and God lets you down, I say, must be Satan must enter into you, because the devil is a liar and the father of it. Hallelujah. I can see, my friend. I can see, my friend. Great joy like a river floods my soul. I once was. God deals with the past, doesn't he? And he can take care of the present. And he can take care of the future. So the only thing I know, if you need help from God, stand up on this book. Not one dot, not one tittle will change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless God. Malachi tells me that in chapter 3. He's an unchanging God. He can span the universe in the span of His hand. He can hold the sparrows in the palm of His hand. And guess where the Christian is at? Right there. Right there in the palm of His hand. Where all the cattle of a thousand hills stands, there I am. Are we not better than a sparrow, and He knows when they fall? Yes, I'm here to tell you, He knows the number of my hairs that's in my head. They may be getting thinner and they may be getting whiter, but I'm still saved. Hallelujah, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to stand before Him one day and toss that crown of righteousness at His feet, and I'm going to give Him praise, and I'm going to give Him glory. And everywhere I go this year, I'm going to tell them about the divine physician. I'm going to tell Him that He takes care of the past. He takes care of the future. And I don't know about you, but I'm just going to stay on the King's highway.
Come on.
I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. How about you? Do you believe it is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Well, is there any sick among us? The Bible said if there are, get the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. And if there's even any sin in their life, it shall be forgiven. And by His stripes we what? Isaiah said, by His stripes we are healed. And Peter, looking back upon Calvary, said that we were healed. We were wounded. He was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have joy. My friend, how can we ever introduce Jesus Christ to someone if we don't have joy? You must keep that joy. I preach a couple, two or three times about be content in whatever state you're in. Don't let your circumstance dictate your joy in the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it's on my evangelist card. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's your strength. Would you stand? I believe that God can.
He can.
Don't you?
He sure can.
And if you need prayer tonight, then come up here to the altar and we'll bind together.
Right.
And we'll touch and we'll agree.
Yes.
Then we'll trust God.
Woo.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody that needs prayer? Any? I'm glad everybody's healed. You need prayer? Come on up here, brother. Is God a respecter of person?
No.
No. No, I knew it was here somewhere. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. Can I say this real quick? When I was lost without God, my wife got a prayer cloth.
Yeah.
She put it in my wallet. And it took me all the way to Florida and all the way back. And when I got tired, I tried to prove God as a sinner.